Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. Imagine not having the legal right to be a parent to your child. That happens here in the Commonwealth. Maybe the parents aren't married or you and your spouse used a sperm donor, for example. All of that falls under what's called parentage laws. And Massachusetts parentage laws don't account for a whole range of ways in which people here are now or may now be parents. Well, State Senator Julian Sear of Truro is trying to change that by co-sponsoring the Massachusetts Parentage Act in the state legislature. He joins us this morning to talk about that. Senator Sear, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Good morning, Tiziana. It's good to be with you again, especially on such a beautiful September day.
It does feel like just a...
Yeah, I know.
Right? It's
pretty nice here on the Cape, I'll tell you that.
Oh, you show off. Well, it is great.
But anyway, we're talking about parentage, an important issue today, so it's good to be on with you.
It is great to have you, and I want to start with having you... Okay, so we're out of date in Massachusetts on parentage laws. Is that correct?
We are so out of date on parentage laws. Our parentage laws are heterocentric, and they leave LGBTQ families like mine, right, and their children in this horrible position. And so we were one of the first states here in Massachusetts to have recognition of LGBTQ people in our government, in our non-discrimination laws. We were the first state in marriage. But we've been resting on our laurels, and we've not been keeping up on certain pieces of law. And parentage is a real glaring liability. And I can speak to this both as an openly queer person, but I also, this has affected my own family. And so an update to this law is long overdue, and that's what we're trying to get done here.
So a couple of things there. First, let's have a couple of examples, and you've made reference to your own family. If you feel prepared to share an example from your own family, that'd be great. If not, tell us others that you've encountered where legal parentage is in question because the family situation is different than where Massachusetts law currently is, Senator Sear.
So because of the archaic parentage laws that we have here, in my own family, so my sister and sister-in-law, my sister's also queer, my sister and sister-in-law, when they were going about having my nephew Kian, when Kian was born, they had to go work through a lawyer and spend several thousand dollars to make sure that, you know, my sister was the birth parent, and my sister-in-law Devin, to make sure that my sister-in-law had legal rights to my nephew, in the chance that my sister and sister-in-law and their family found themselves in one of these states that is, peeling back rights for LGBTQ families. State courts in Pennsylvania and Oklahoma have had all recent cases with outcomes that have stripped the non-genetic LGBTQ parent of their parentage rights. Right. So even in my own family, we've experienced this. Look, my sister and sister-in-law were able to, to figure this out and do this, but this really isn't right. And particularly, it's unfair for LGBTQ families and other families that don't have the means to secure, the legal assistance to make sure that they have an ironclad legal bond with their child.
So the ironclad is also in part, if I'm hearing you correctly, Senator Sear, to ensure parental rights outside the state of Massachusetts as well as inside. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah, so much of the concern here is about parentage rights outside of Massachusetts. So because of how our archaic parentage laws are structured, they're over 40 years old. We really put LGBTQ families and others at significant risk, particularly if the family decides to move or all the sort of things that happen in people's lives. So this is particularly a concern given the real extremism that we're seeing in other states and real persistent attacks. This is a cynical political strategy against LGBTQ people that extremists, in one of our major political parties have put forward. We need to make sure, though, right, that if you are a family in Massachusetts The laws and protections of the Commonwealth should be protecting your family and should be extending across the country, right? And that is not the case based on our archaic parentage laws. And so that's why it's so urgent, you know, particularly what's going on in other states, it's so urgent that we get this updated.
So a couple of things there, and we're speaking with State Senator Julian Sear of Truro, who is co-sponsoring the Massachusetts Parentage Act. So a couple of things I want to unpack here. First, other New England states, our neighbors on several sides, have more updated acts than Massachusetts does. Are there particular measures in those acts? Maine Parentage Act. Took effect in 2016, Connecticut updated in 2022, Rhode Island in 2021. Are there measures in those acts that you're looking to have here in Massachusetts?
Yes. So Massachusetts is the only New England state that has not updated its parentage laws to fully protect LGBTQ families like mine. We know, right, that our family, we have a tremendous diversity of families here in Massachusetts, and they're formed in many ways. Whether a genetic connection, adoption, assisted reproduction, surrogacy, marital or intent-based presumption of parentage, and all of these pieces are considered as part of parentage in the laws in the five other New England states. And this is particularly alarming for Massachusetts because we have the highest percentage of births through assisted reproduction in the United States. In 2020, 5.6 of all births in the state were through assisted reproduction. So we're a real outlier here with other states, and compared to our sort of neighboring states. And then in contrast, if you look at what's happening elsewhere, so state courts in Pennsylvania, in Oklahoma, in Idaho, have all had recent cases where the outcome stripped a non-genetic LGBTQ mother of her marital presumption of parentage because of outdated parentage laws, or the lack of clear protections for the family that were formed through assisted reproduction and a series of, you know, of laws or legal protections there. So this is really concerning, particularly because nearly one in three LGBTQ adults in the United States are raising children under the age of 18. So this is not a small issue for our community. This is very significant. It affects many of us. And it's something that, you know, where Massachusetts has been such a trailblazer here, it's a little embarrassing. And it's unacceptable that queer families in the Commonwealth like mine are at risk.
So, Senator Sear, I'm going to play a little sound from a person I know you know. You were on a panel a few years ago with Jay Shia of Boston, who has been advocating for passage of the Massachusetts Parentage Act, which I know is based in part on what's called the Uniform Parentage Act. Jay talked about the challenges of raising her son as a single parent after separation when she wasn't the biological mother of her child. In fact, she said her son was even taken from her for a year because the state didn't acknowledge her as having legal parental rights. Here she is.
I am a nobody. I'm not a parent. I'm not a grandparent. I'm not a foster parent. He wasn't up for adoption. I'm just this person who, by fact, de facto, has raised this kid.
Since then, Jay has gained guardianship of her son, gotten him out of foster care, but she says even that makes her, quote unquote, a glorified babysitter for a child that's technically still a ward of the state, not a son that she's raised her entire life. You've laid out these details, Senator. Anyone who has experienced loving a child can identify with, I think, the pain of feeling like someone could take your child away from you. I want to acknowledge that. At the same time, I want to ask the question about those who will say this is a push against moves that there are some in the state who will hold, that there are traditional families and this is a push to break apart the values of traditional families, and you need to respond to that pushback.
I mean, well, first, it's just heartbreaking to hear Jay's experience, and there's so many families who have experienced that, and that's unacceptable. Look, with traditional families, we have all sorts of different compositions of families here in Massachusetts. I happen to serve on the Grandparents Raising Grandchildren Commission, which works to provide support for grandparents who are raising their children. So this, you know, kind of outdated Neanderthal thinking about, you know, it's just not where families' experiences are here in Massachusetts. You know, I'm someone who's fortunate to have grown up alongside a number of people who were raised by, you know, very loving, remarkable families with two moms, two dads, all sorts of compositions. So, you know, look, those are folks with an extremist political agenda who just don't want to acknowledge the lived reality that people are having. And look, you know, we live in a society and in a commonwealth where we're able to determine, you know, our own lives and our own destiny. But that's just not really grounded in reality. And honestly, we haven't really heard much of any of that pushback. I think there's some concern in the bill about making sure that the concern around de facto parentage and making sure that that inadvertently doesn't put certain children at risk. We're working with domestic violence advocates to address that. And I'm hoping that this is a bill we can, you know, move and bring to, you know, our governor's desk, who, you know, Governor Healey understands these issues, you know, as personally as I do.
So to that point, and I'll connect those dots. At the beginning of our conversation, Senator Scheer, you mentioned sort of the history of firsts here in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. In 2003, in November, we'll be at the 20th anniversary of Goodridge versus the Department of Public Health, which was the Massachusetts State Judicial Supreme Judicial Court ruling that said it was Massachusetts Constitution required that the state recognize same-sex marriage under the Constitution. Now we have the country's first openly lesbian governor in office. Is this the moment these updated laws get passed? Is this the moment for the Massachusetts Parentage Act and the changes you're looking for, Senator Scheer?
I mean, absolutely. And isn't it marvelous to see where we have come? I remember that day. I was a senior in high school in November 2023, and I was driving to piano lessons, and I remember us listening to NPR. I was probably listening to WBUR, and you know, I heard about the decision, right? And I wasn't even out to my parents, but I called my mom. I can't even tell you what it meant to have that recognition, even as someone who wasn't yet fully out. And you know, 20 years later, to see, you know, that the leader of our state is a brilliant, competent, openly LGBTQ woman, the first woman governor in the state as well, I think really is something we should all be proud of. But I think we need to really look critically and not just rest on our laurels and say, oh, well, like, we're Massachusetts, we were first in marriage, we got P-Town in Northampton, we're cool, right? That is actually not the lived experience of all LGBTQ people in our state. And really my goal, you know, in partnership with the governor, in partnership with the 9 other members of the LGBTQ caucus that we have now in the legislature, and with scores of my colleagues who are wonderful allies to the LGBTQ community, let's get the Parentage Act done. And let's actually go through and make sure that all of our policies and laws are inclusive of the full lived experience of people here in Massachusetts. And I think there's real momentum to get that done. And really, I'm bullish about our chances here. This is long overdue. And I think this is something I hope we can get over the finish line and to the governor's desk, and really make sure that Massachusetts is living up to the promise of what this Commonwealth has been about for so long.
And just to note that Maura Healey, the first woman elected to the governorship here in the Commonwealth.
Yes, thank you.
State Senator Julian Sears, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.